Please be seated. And if you would, take a look at your missal, the outer page of it. Can everyone hear me? Can you hear me in the back? Yes? Okay. Can you hear me? Oh, okay. What a difference. Okay. So, I want to help you make sense out of the missal. We've done this before, but this is another opportunity to reinforce some of that. So the missal makes sense, your life will make sense, at least on Sunday morning. So the very first box up here gives you, you know, a clue, not only a clue, but a lot of information of what's going to go happen at the liturgy. Obviously, St. Nectarios Greek Orthodox Church, we know which church we're in. Okay, Sunday missal tells you that this is for Sunday, and it gives you the date, pretty self-explanatory. The next line, however, where it says Sunday after Epiphany, Saint Theodosius. On that line, every Sunday, when there's a missal, that will be a special indication of any, you know, a special commemoration that's happening that day, and there are more than likely going to be some of the hymns for that day are going to be for those commemorations. So Sunday after Epiphany, we said this the Sunday after Christmas, okay, that after the big feasts, the feast extends for 5, 6, 7, 8 days. This one is a major one, so it extends for 7 or 8 days. And therefore, the Sunday that falls directly after it, there will be, in addition to the regular Sunday stuff, some of that regular Sunday stuff will be replaced by Epiphany stuff, or the feast stuff. And so if you were at Matins this morning, you know, some of the hymns that would normally be for Sunday were replaced by the Epiphany ones in that slot. If you're observant here of what's going on here, you'll see that the second antiphon, where it says, Save us, O Son of God, normally we say, Who arose from the dead, right, on a Sunday? This time it says, Who were baptized in the Jordan by John. That's the specific one for Epiphany. So we've replaced a little bit of Epiphany stuff here. You'll notice that the third antiphon, where it says, As you were baptized in the Jordan, O Lord. That is the apolitikion, the appropriate hymn for Epiphany. We stuck it in here, you know, because it's the Sunday after Epiphany. We haven't completely removed Sunday things, but we had to replace some of them with Epiphany things. On that line up there, the third line from the top, it always says, also says, Saint Theodosius. So usually when it's the Sunday or the Sunday after a feast, you know, we like to focus on just the resurrectional things or the festal things, but it requires for a saint to be celebrated on a Sunday, on his day. I mean, every year, January 11th is Saint Theodosius. I don't know if you know anyone named Theodosius or if you know anything about the saint, but he's pretty important in the life of the church, and therefore the rubrics call for his commemoration to also take place on this Sunday. If it were a less celebrated saint, like if it were yesterday, if it next year, or whenever it is, like the Sunday after Epiphany is going to be January 10th, I think he's an important saint, but the rubrics don't. And so therefore, Saint Gregory of Nyssa, all his hymns would be suppressed because Sunday and the Sunday after Epiphany really trump all that. But Saint Theodosius in the history of the church is considered big enough to be celebrated also. So we have three things. We have Sunday, resurrectional things. We have Epiphany things, because it's the Sunday after Epiphany. And then we also have some material commemorating Saint Theodosius. So let's talk about Saint Theodosius very quickly. As a word, Theodosius, Theodosios, if you know any Greek, you know it's got the word Theos in it, and it's got tho, like dido, like I give, okay? So it means someone, the name literally means given by God, okay? God-given. If we were to translate his name, we would call him God-given. But his name is Theodosius. And he lived, I think, in the 5th century. He was a monk and a leader of monasteries in the Palestinian area, so much so that he founded many monasteries and was kind of like a supervisor for many monasteries. And so his title is called Cenobiarch. It's a Greek word, kinoviarchis. Kinovion means a monastery, means a common life monastery. And arch means a leader of. So he was sort of like the spiritual father of many monasteries in the area. Something like the famous Father Ephrem that you've heard, you know, has many monasteries in America. And he's kind of like spiritual father of all of them and started all of them, this is not unhistorical. There have been, you know, really, really dynamic monks and abbots that were able to start monasteries through history. So that's why St. Theodosius is considered important. And we'll just look at his hymn real quickly, which is at the bottom of the first column. And it says, with the rivers of your tears, you made the barren desert bloom. Obviously, we have some metaphors and some, you know, symbolism here and some, you know, what are they called, metaphors. So obviously, if you know your Bible really well, this is actually referring to an Old Testament thing where it says, the desert will blossom, you know. And so what he did is, because he, you know, the rivers of your tears means the weeping, incessant weeping that he had as a virtue, for weeping for his sins and for the evil in the world and whatever, that's considered a virtue. So those tears sort of like watered the desert sands and it caused it to bloom. And then the next line, bloom with what? With more monasteries and virtues. And then the next line it says, and with your sighs from deep within, again referring to his incessant spiritual mourning, you made your labors bear their fruits a hundredfold. And that's now from the New Testament. He says, you know, some will bear 30-fold, some will bear 60-fold, and some will bear 100-fold, you know, of the virtues, you know, through the grace that was given to them. And because he's a saint, I mean, he hit the top, you know, he got the top, 100-fold. And then you became a star, illuminating the world by your miracles. And here the hymnographers like to use Old Testament images, they like to use New Testament images, they also like to use astronomy. Stars, they'll even talk about the zodiac sometimes, not as predicting the future, but as being real, you know, the real phenomena, the organization of how the stars are in heaven or whatever. And so in this case, he's just saying, you know, another star. You would be like a star, and you're, you know, in the sky of heaven, full of stars, which are the saints, and, you know, and you shine on the world with all your miracles. And the rest, including the typo that's in there, is just praying to the saint, you know, for intercessions. And so why don't we stand and pray now?